We've got to stick together. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Okay, so they have elections over the weekend in Iran. The big player in the Middle East. I mean, they've been subsidizing the Hamas network to Israel South, which has been raining rockets down on Israel for years. They've been supporting Hezbollah, which we believe is a terror movement to the north. They're involved in the Syrian civil war. And they also have a very restless population of people who increasingly want more freedom. This guy who was elected, Hassan Rouhani, is called a moderate. But is he? Well, let's find out. Scott Peterson is the Istanbul bureau chief for the Christian Science Monitor, and he's also a native of Seattle. Where'd you grow up here, Scott?
Normandy Park and Everett before that.
Yes, I know Normandy Park quite well. And Everett. So you are south and north of Seattle.
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to be here. What do you make of this election? What's going to change in Iran because of the election?
Well, I think this is a really transformative moment in Iran. And the reason is because it really has been a shock, the fact that we've had this moderate candidate. I mean, this candidate was running against a slate of five conservative candidates, people who are much more hardline, who weren't speaking very much about social freedoms or anything else. And they were really expected to be the shoe-in candidate. So when this moderate candidate, and let's not forget, I mean, he's moderate, but he's not a radical. He's still a cleric. He's been deeply involved in the revolution, you know, going back 34 years. But he's also someone who has said the right things, pushed the right buttons with people who want change. And there are a lot of people, as you said in your introduction, in Iran who really do want change. And they basically decided, all right, let's forget about the events that took place in 2009. You remember that fraud-tainted election that yielded weeks and weeks of street violence. Really bad scene. So the regime was really concerned that something like that might happen in this election. And so in any event, they allowed this candidate to run. He won in the first vote, which was in the first round, which was really a shock. And I think, you know, Iranian citizens are as shocked as anyone, the fact that that their votes this time were counted in a way that they simply weren't in 2009.
Is that only because the five more conservative candidates, again, by Iranian standards, split the vote?
Well, not really, because if you add up all the other candidates, they still don't come close. You know, they still don't come close enough to have won. I mean, okay, they would have had a better chance if they'd had a unity candidate for sure.
Okay, all right, very good. But when we hear that he's a moderate, I mean, he says that yes, we'd like, you know, a path of moderation. We would like to reestablish rapport with the West. But we're not going to stop halting the uranium enrichment program, and we're certainly not going to pull back from helping Bashar Assad.
Well, Iran will still maintain some of its strategic policies. I mean, those kind of things aren't going to change, and ultimately the decisions about those are not made by the president. They're made by Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. But there is what the president can do is he can change a lot the tone that Iran and the face with which Iran actually faces the rest of the world. So just in the last hour, Hassan Rouhani in Tehran just finished his first official press conference, and he really was very explicit about the steps that he is preparing to take. And basically, I think that what we're seeing is quite a broad recognition inside Iran at the highest levels that some of these hardline and much more confrontational policies of the last few years have not yielded the results that were useful for Iran.
Okay,
that also helped.
Now, the U.S. government, you've got a president and a Congress and an independent judiciary. Explain to our listeners how the Iranian government is designed.
Well, you have also an extraordinary...
Because don't you have a panel of clerics who really call the shots there?
Well, the guy who makes the final decisions, of course, is that supreme leader. But the one thing that's often forgotten about Iran is that Iran is a political system that has an array of power centers, and they are always fluctuating. Often they are dependent upon the individuals themselves, the kind of political weight that they curry. We have pillars of the revolution, guys like former presidents Mohammad Khatami, former president Rafsanjani especially. These are guys who played big roles during an entire generation of the Islamic Revolution. So they don't really have parties per se. They've got factions which are active and which are also fluctuating all the time. So, you know, and there are also surprises. You know, one of the things about Iranian politics is that you end up with this kind of improvisation that goes on all the time. I mean, 3 days before this election, the Iranians who I was speaking to, many of them were saying, we are not going to vote. We vowed in 2009, after our election was taken away from us brutally, that our vote didn't count, and we're not going to do it.
So you think we're just not going to do it. So you think that this could be a turning point for Iran, internally, if not externally?
I think in both respects. You know, both, because basically they have, I mean, the regime has understood that it needs to make changes internally, and is. You know, it appears has found a good excuse in this election. I mean, the fact that this election has been allowed to continue on, a first round victory was given to a moderate candidate, despite, you know, the so-called, you know, all the credentials of the conservatives that were running, who appeared to be the favorite of the supreme leader. The fact that people were therefore able to say, wow, we have faith in this system again, or at least in our ability to elect someone, our vote is being counted. These things are things that even 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think, would have been hard to imagine with this election, and yet they've come to pass.
Great. Okay, Scott Peterson, my guest, the bureau chief of the Christian Science Monitor, and of course, Scott grew up here in Seattle, in the Seattle area, Normandy Park, and later in Everett. He's the bureau chief for Istanbul, so let's go to Turkey real quickly. There you've got street demonstrations, but they're not Islamists. Those are people who want more of a Western-style return to freedom in that country, because they've been moving away from that.
Well, these are people who really are more secular, but they kind of cross a broad swath of people. You've got people who often they're younger. They're maybe more westernized in some respects, but in any event, they are minority groups in Turkey today who did not vote for the current prime minister, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And Erdogan is a very, you know, very powerful politician. In the last election in 2011, he won for a third time his party with 50% of the vote, but he also has a very abrasive manner, which is turned and has a habit of also ignoring some of these other minorities. And those people, after 10 years of Erdogan's rule, finally, in the last couple of weeks, kind of stood up and said, wait a minute, we're not going to take this anymore.
In other words, he's been moving in more of a hardline Islamist direction incrementally for the last 10 years. And finally, a demonstration over all things a park provoked people going to the streets and saying, you've gone too far.
Well, the timeline is actually more interesting than that, because he's been in power for 10 years, but the first 5 years, he has helped to oversee an extraordinary economic transformation. It's only been in the last few years that his party, the Justice and Development Party, has actually began to push for stepping in to many more lifestyle decisions and those kind of rules that really do make people angry. So it's really just been the last few years.
We have just 15 seconds. Where is Turkey on the Syrian civil war?
They are very much hoping that Assad is going to die tomorrow.
Okay, so the Iran and Turkey not seeing that the same way at all. Thanks very much. I appreciate you being with me, Scott. We have Laura Ingram up next.
Bye-bye.
Adios. Are you serious?
I am serious. Adios.